Families play a vital role in training. Before God created civil government, he created family. Before he created even the church, God created family. Families play a vital role in training the next generation. Commit today to nurturing and supporting families, especially your own. Families that are committed to God and each other can play a vital role in transforming our churches, cities, states, and nation.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We've been asking the question, does it really take a village to raise a child? This comes from the Hillary Clinton book, 1996 book by that name. There are many people, the reason we're doing this is because there is such a huge attack on the family today. And there are many people that have adopted the worldview of Hillary Clinton that it takes a village to raise a child, when we see from Scripture that God placed children in families and is intended for families to raise children. And there has been a huge attack on families. One of the things that we have seen, and one of the things that we started talking about last week, was we were talking about children at the border, also defunding the police and criminal justice reform. These are policies, really. We see some government policies, really, that are attacking the family. And we talked quite a bit last week about criminal justice reform. You can go to our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, and you can see that, and also our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And we actually, last week, we focused mostly on children at the border. We also started focusing a little bit on defunding the police. Today, we'll just continue on defunding the police and also talk about criminal justice reform. When we look at the Bible, one of the things that we see, and we have been told, by the way, we were told last year that the biggest problem in the black community is actually police officers killing black people and unarmed black men. That's the biggest problem in the black community. And what we really need is to have fewer police officers. And in fact, there were, many cities actually defunded the police to a certain extent. And one of the things that those cities did also is they said, well, we're going to replace police officers with social workers, as if more social workers, you know, a social worker is going to show up to a shooting and talk the shooter out of killing someone. Of course, they wouldn't get there in time. Most of the time, the police don't get there in time. But in reality, one of the things that we talked about and we showed last year is that cops kill nearly twice as many whites as blacks. And this is in 2020 or 2015. According to data compiled by the Washington Post, 50% of victims of fatal police shootings were white, while 26% were black. More whites and Hispanics die from police homicides than blacks. According to McDonald, 12% of white and Hispanic homicide deaths were due to police officers, while only 4% of black homicides were due to the result of police officers. Black and Hispanic police officers are more likely to fire a gun at blacks than white officers. Blacks are more likely to kill cops than be killed by cops. This is according to FBI data, which also shows that 40% of cop killers are black. According to McDonald, the police officer is 18.5 times more likely to be killed by a black man than a cop killing an unarmed black man. And sometimes, as we pointed out last week, sometimes even even if the person is unarmed, sometimes they still are threatening the life of the police officer, like in Ferguson, where I believe it was Freddie Gray was going after the gun of the police officer, and you heard, hands up, don't shoot. Well, his hands were going for the gun. His hands weren't up. They were going for the gun of the police officer. And in most cases, if you go for the gun of a police officer, you are going to be shot and killed in most cases. If you're driving your vehicle and you're unarmed, but you're driving your vehicle toward a police officer, very likely you're going to be shot and killed. According to FBI data, 4,906 black people murdered other blacks in 2010-2011. That's actually 1,460 more black Americans killed by other blacks in 2 years than were lynched from 1882 to 1968, according to the Tuskegee Institute. And of course, former Milwaukee Sheriff David Clark said that if black lives really mattered to those who were protesting, they would be at abortion clinics. Because here's what happens. In Alabama, reported that 58.7% of their abortions were on blacks, while in Georgia, they reported 52.1% on blacks. Tennessee performed 49.9% of their abortions on black women, and Virginia performed 43.9% on black women, while Michigan's black abortion percentage was 47.9%, and New York's alone performed 46.1% of their abortions on black women, and 41.1% of black abortions were reported in Missouri. Minority women constitute only, black women actually constitute only 13% of the female population ages 15 to 44 in the United States, but underwent 36% of abortions. Approximately 432,000 preborn children killed, or black children are killed by abortion each year. So the most dangerous place to be in for a black human being is in the womb of his mother or her mother, because what we see is that huge percentages are actually killed by abortion. But we actually go and we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about defunding the police. And of course, you know, one of the things that you really won't see in the Bible is you won't see the police. In fact, we'll actually look and see what the Bible says about criminal justice and about enforcement of the law, but you're not going to see really the police. They didn't have the police in biblical law in the Old Testament. You will see definitely soldiers, Roman soldiers in the New Testament that were functioning not only as the army, but were also functioning as sort of law enforcement officers as well. But we did talk about last week from Romans chapter 13 that God has appointed the civil magistrates, those who rule. He's appointed them to reward the righteous and to punish the wicked. He's even given them the power of the sword with the ability to put people to death for this purpose of rewarding the righteous and punishing the wicked. There are many people who believe that simply the problem is the police. The problem is there's too many police officers. And if we didn't have as many police officers, we wouldn't have as much crime. One of the problems with this is that people are actually doing is that they're assuming that man is basically good, that human beings are basically good, that we actually have a good nature, and that really, if we can be encouraged to do what is right. But the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So this is something that we need to actually look at. And we need to look and see what the Bible has to say and really follow biblical principles. One of the things that we'll see as we get into criminal justice reform is we're going to actually see that in the Old Testament, under biblical law, when someone was murdered, it was actually the family members that were hunting down the murderer. And if they found the murderer outside of a city of refuge, they actually could put that murderer to death and be held not held accountable for that death. What have been the results of defunding the police? Well, one of the things that we're seeing is we're seeing huge spikes in violence. We're seeing huge spikes in crime. We're seeing huge spikes in murder in major cities where police officers have been defunded. And this isn't just coming from conservative people and conservative news outlets. This is actually coming from liberals as well, including CNN, liberal news agency, MSN, and in addition to that, Geraldo Rivera, who is very liberal himself. But Henry Olson cites the criminal statistics that paint an alarming picture. Murder rates in many major U.S. cities skyrocketed in 2020, increasing by nearly 37% over 2019's totals in a collection of 57 large jurisdictions. The rise was much larger in some places, such as Seattle, which saw a 74% increase, and Chicago, which saw a 56% increase. New York, the national symbol of how long or for how crime rates plummeted in the 1990s. By the way, I believe Mayor Rudy Giuliani was mayor at that time. They saw a 45% hike in murders and a 97% increase in shootings. That was in the Washington Post. According to a CNN article titled "Defund the Police Encounters Resistance as Violent Crime Spike," we see in Los Angeles, the police department defunded by $150 million. Police officers were reduced from 10,100 to 9,450. The police department hoped to hire more officers, but Melina Abdullah, co-founder of Black Lives Matter Los Angeles, said they're hoping to stop that hiring. The result? Homicides are up 26.5% year-to-date over 2019 and 44.9% over 2020. I believe it's actually 26.5% over 2020 and 44.9% over 2019 or vice versa. Aggravated assaults are up 12.8% over 2020 and 11.3% over 2019. In Seattle, the police budget was cut by 18%. With police absent from the 6-square-block area, the experiment spun out of control with accusations that it ended up causing what it had aimed to stop, more violence against Black people. Governor Greg Abbott in Texas said this about Austin, where the police have been defunded. "This is what defunding the police looks like. Austin is incapable of timely responding to a victim shot in the head." In New York, after the city police cut the police budget by $1 billion. The surge in violence in the city, including the shooting of a toddler in Times Square, brought the issue of crime into the city's mayoral race. Deputy Commissioner John Miller tweeted a video of an officer sprinting with the girl toward an ambulance. In an MSN article titled "Murders Surge as Police Are Defunded, Up 64% in Minneapolis," we see murder and other crimes have surged in major cities following the effort to defund and rein in police activity following the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis last year. According to a law enforcement report in Minneapolis, police activity following Floyd's death while in custody dropped 42%, and possibly as a result, murders surged 64%, said the report from Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund. The report said that in 10 major cities where cops were sharply criticized, police activity dropped 48% since June 2020, and murders rose 56%. Nationally, murders jumped 25% to the highest point since 1995, a year before former President Clinton and then Senator Joe Biden pushed through a crime bill that granted millions up to police and established the three strikes provision that helped fill the nation's jails and increase the length of sentences. In Louisville, police stops were down 35%, homicides up 87%. In Minneapolis, arrests are down 42%, homicides up 64%. In Los Angeles, arrests are down 33%, homicides up 51%. Fox News's Geraldo Rivero, citing Superintendent David Brown and Mayor Lori Lightfoot, wrote that the city's roughly 117,000 gang members outnumber the city's 13,000 police officers by roughly 10 to 1. To me, the miracle in Chicago isn't that 11 were killed this weekend and 19 the weekend before. It's that it was not worse than that, Rivera said to Fox News Digital, elaborating on his earlier comments. He blamed the push to keep police officers from enforcing the law for enabling the type of environment that leads to 117,000 gang members like in Chicago. All you can do with this defund the police nonsense is ignore the fact that you are essentially assigning a third world existence to a huge segment of the population, all in the name of anti-racism, according to Geraldo. And just last night, in a speech by former President Donald Trump pointed out that more people are shot each weekend in Chicago than in any active war zone. So what has been the result? We need to understand that, biblically speaking, people are not basically good. People are not basically good people. If we want to be biblically accurate, we need to realize that our heart is deceitful. It is desperately wicked. Every single one of us is capable of heinous crime and sin and crimes against humanity. It is only the grace of God that has either redeemed our heart or restrains us, that keeps us from practicing and committing heinous acts. And part of that restraining power is not just God's grace working in us and Him and God sovereignly and supernaturally moving to actually keep us from wickedness, but part of that grace, part of that restraining power is actually the civil magistrate. The Bible in the Old Testament actually talks about the death penalty and actually says that the death penalty would have the result that the people would see someone being put to death and fear and not commit those same crimes, not commit those same sins. This is what God wants. This is what God intends. And one of the things that we see when we study and when we look at human behavior and when we look at nations, one of the things that you'll see is as a nation departs from God's standards, as a nation departs from His precepts, as a nation leaves doing what God has commanded us to do, and in fact, self-governing and making sure that we are doing what is right, as a nation departs from God's precepts, departs from the fear of God, loses the fear of God, that nation will be given over to tyrants. In fact, God, you see this throughout the country, throughout the world. When people throw off all restraint, God actually raises up tyrants to rule over them. And one of the things that you see, this doesn't just go from freedom to tyranny. You actually see greater and greater and greater and greater moves toward a police state. We saw this again in the 1970s, Democrat-led, in the 1990s with Senator Joe Biden and President Bill Clinton and that big crime bill that they actually passed. One of the things that we see, though, if we want to actually have less police officers out there, if we want to have less police officers on, and by the way, $1 billion cutting the budget in the city of New York by $1 billion. I mean, how much money are they spending? They're spending a huge amount of money. We are spending a huge amount of money on keeping and restraining people from committing evil acts. But the thing is, when you remove that force, you remove the threat of prosecution, basically, by telling the police to stand down, by telling the police to leave and the cities, by telling the police to not enforce the law aggressively, by telling the police to take it easy on the criminals. Well, what do the criminals do? We saw last year when there were riots in Chicago, we saw a black anti-gun activist saying that it was open license in the streets, that people were actually given the criminals were actually just going wild, killing people in the streets. We need to get back to God. We need to turn back to Him. What we need in this nation to reduce the amount of police officers we have, to reduce the amount of criminal justice that we have, to reduce the amount that we spend on police officers, the amount of our resources, our budgets, our city budgets, our county budgets, our state budgets, our federal budgets that are spent on law enforcement, that are spent on criminal justice. We need a revival in this nation. We need reformation. We need to fall on our knees before God. You may have heard the one founding father, and I forget his name right offhand, but his quote was, "The Bible or bayonets. We'll either be ruled by the Bible, by the Word of God. We'll either humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways and serve the Lord, or we will actually be forced to to submit to the bayonet. In other words, as Romans 13 says, God raises up civil magistrates for the purpose of rewarding the righteous and punishing the wicked, and they don't bear the sword in vain. If we want to be free, if we want to be at peace, we need to obey God. If we want to have less police officers having to enforce the law, we need to obey the law. We need to keep the commandments of God. We need to turn back to Him. We need to humble ourselves and pray. We need to bow before the throne of God and examine ourselves and see whether we are in the faith. We shouldn't just assume that because we go to church that we are Christians, because we sing in the choir that we are Christians, because we walk all ladies across the street that we are Christians. We need to make sure that we are Christians, and we need to humble ourselves. We need to pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways. We need to hide His word in our hearts that we might not sin against God. We need to meditate on His word. We need to live and abide in the word of God, so that we would know His truth, so that that truth would set us free from sin. This is what we need, and we need to share the gospel and the good news with other people that we come in contact with, including those of all races, including those of Hispanic races, including those of black, including the whites. The white supremacists need to meet Jesus. The blacks need to meet Jesus. Hispanics need to meet Jesus. Our lives all matter, and we all need Jesus, and we all need to self-govern, to turn from our wicked ways, to humble ourselves, to seek His face, to turn from our wicked ways, so that He could hear from heaven, could forgive our sins, and heal our land. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Before God created civil government, He created family. Before He created even the church, God created family. Families play a vital role in training the next generation. Commit today to nurturing and supporting families, especially your own. Families that are committed to God and each other can play a vital role in transforming our churches, cities, states, and nation.
For you have called.